Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Curious, Pat, did you ever think you were coming to Chicago when Craig left?
Yeah, I mean, Counts and I talked about it. He got contacted and took the job. It all happened in a day. And people think it was a long, drawn-out process and it was always in the works. No, it wasn't. Jed Hoyer followed the thing to a T.
That was Pat Murphy joining the Mully and Haw Show on 670 The Score down in Chicago, saying he almost went to Chicago with Craig Counsell before he found out he was getting the manager job here in Milwaukee. That would have been that's a whole nother timeline.
That would have been something
we could be living in. It'll be Cubs and Brewers starting tomorrow in the divisional series. 108 first pitch from AmFam Field, and joining us now from that very station, 670 The Score down in Chicago. You hear him weekday afternoons 2 to 6 alongside Matt Spiegel. It's my pleasure to welcome in my buddy Lawrence Holmes on the Gruber Law Hotline. One call, that's all. Lawrence, how are you I guess it's still the morning. How are you this morning, Lawrence?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, man. Things are tense. Things are tense around here with the whole Craig Counsell storyline going into this series. I don't know if that storyline plays as heavy down in Chicago, Lawrence, but man, it is the thing up here that the Brewers are going against their former manager and hometown hero in Craig Counsell.
It's already tense, huh? Like, it's just like 12 hours ago, the Cubs won, and it's already tense. Well, yeah, we've been thinking and talking about this for forever, the idea of what Craig Counsell could do if maybe he had a bigger payroll. He's the best manager in the game, and if he had more resources, would it look different than what it looked like in Milwaukee, where sometimes they had good teams and then kind of petered out at the end? And now we're going to see. That being said, and Rami, you know this, Cubs fans have not been happy with the Cubs kind of not going for it this year. Like, this team is pretty good, but it could have been better. And at the trade deadline, they kind of stood pat. And so that was surprising. So the hope is that whatever you think the metric is for what a manager adds to it, and that debate has been going on for about 20 years on trying to quantify it. But if you think that this is the best because he's being paid as the best manager, then how many wins is he worth? And that question still needs to be answered. And sure, it's a lot of fun to think about. Look, I'll just remind you guys, when Craig got hired by the Cubs, I was doing a show with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi.
Mm-hmm.
And we were literally at the offices of the Cubs. And Craig walked out of the press conference and he walked into the room with us to sit down. He was upset. Like, when we asked him about Wisconsin and Milwaukee, he teared up a little bit because I don't think that he thought the reaction from Brewers fans would be so severe. He loves Wisconsin. And like he loved his time as the Brewers manager. But this was an opportunity that he couldn't pass up. And I was talking about it last night on my podcast, House of L. If all of us in our industry or any industry, if someone came to you and was like, hey, we can give you a similar job in a place that you also love, and we're going to give you more money than anyone who's doing that job, how many of us turn that down?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't, Lawrence. I'll be real with you.
I love money. So I'm
I wouldn't. I'd be gone. I'd be gone. But Lawrence, for those Brewers fans for those Cubs fans who are wondering, like, was Craig Counsell worth this payday? And did he really make us that much better a team and give us a leg up on the Brewers? Does he need to win? Like, is he on trial with this series to prove that he was the right move and that put the Cubs over the Brewers?
I think he was on trial in Game 3 against the Padres. Game 2 against the Padres did not go to plan, and he kind of jumped away from his plan of trying to keep Shota from facing the top of the Padres' order.
Yeah.
And he went with his gut and ended up being proven wrong. I don't think that this is necessarily a referendum because we're starting to see the impact that he has. I think that this season you saw growth and development from so many players that you have to give Craig some credit on that. And now let's see what happens next. Let's see if the Cubs actually invest in this offseason and go into it thinking about being the bullies of the National League Central. It boggles my mind, and I know that there are going to be people the Cubs fans will get mad at me and be like, well, look at their payroll. Right. But you can bury the rest of the National League Central in payroll. You just can't. You just have to want to if you're Tom Ricketts and you have the money. So let's see how they roll into what might be the last season before a lockout and if they actually go for it. But so far, I think the Craig experience has been really good. And I think it took him a year to kind of figure out how the organization works. And now that he understands how the organization works, what his dynamic is with Jed Hoyer and with ownership, I think that we're seeing an organization that's on an uptick from a managerial standpoint.
Lawrence, Brandon Snide here. Appreciate you joining the program here. A couple of questions here for you. I'm going to jam pack them all in one here for you and put you on the spot.
I got my pen and pad. I'm going to write them down.
I know you're ready. I know you're prepared. The Cubs beat the Brewers in the regular season. Series went 7-6. Cubs. We haven't seen the Cubs since late August, which included a 5-game series at Wrigley. A very unique situation there with the rain delays and whatnot. As of the last, I don't know, month and a half, I know the Cubs had a 5-game losing streak heading into the postseason. Then they righted the ship against the Cardinals, getting into the wild card, an up and down wild card series against the Padres. Since the Brewers have last seen the Cubs, again, going back to late August, what's been their biggest strength during that time and what's been their biggest weakness during that time?
The weakness is the inconsistency of the lineup. They've got good players, but some of them go into valleys. Like Ian Happ is one of those. He's a good player, but he will often go into a 2-week or 3-week valley where you go, wow, well, Ian's really struggling. Now in September, he was outstanding. And then you got to the first two games of this series and he looked absolutely lost. Pete Armstrong went from being an MVP candidate, and I think they'll still get MVP votes, to scuffling. Like, here's what explains the Cubs really well. At the All-Star break, people in Chicago were like, there should be way more Cubs on the All-Star team. I can't believe that Seiya Suzuki is not on the All-Star team. They're going to have three guys who hit 40 home runs for them. And then it took to the end of the season to get Pete Armstrong to 30 home runs. Seiya Suzuki, I think, was sitting on 25 at the All-Star break, and then he went into a chasm. So they had guys that had great starts to their season and are still struggling. Now, Seiya pulled out of it the last week of the season and into the playoffs, but Pete still is kind of not right, and he's a free swinger. So he goes into these sometimes where he looks like he's completely lost at the plate, but there's not a lot of lineup flexibility. And then there's the Kyle Tucker problem. Kyle Tucker has a really bad calf and he can barely run. Like, you guys saw him yesterday, like, he's given 100% of what he has, but what he has isn't a lot. He can still hit, but your roster construction it ends up being odd because Ballesteros is on the roster but doesn't have a position. His position would be DH, but you're not going to risk Kyle Tucker hurting himself in the outfield, and you absolutely need his bat in the lineup. So there's a lot of stuff that and this is why I give Craig a lot of credit. There's a lot of stuff that he's trying to actually manage. Cade Horton getting hurt could have been a death knell for this team inside of the Padres series. That guy was putting up Jake Arrieta and Bob Gibson numbers.
Sure was, yeah.
In the second half of the season, and now he's gone. So that changes your whole strategy on how you're going to set up a playoff rotation. And so they're not the team that they were maybe at September 15th. But I think that the collective good and their defense is so spectacular that they're still a team that should be worried about.
Talking with Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score here on 9 to noon on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. All that being said, Lawrence, like, Saya did start to wake up at the end of the season. Michael Bush's bat got hot at the end of the season, and they were able to score some runs. And then you go into this divisional series, and yeah, they came out on top, but six runs over the course of those three games. Do you chalk that up to that inconsistency and the injuries that they've had offensively, or do you just chalk it up to a lights-out San Diego Padres pitching staff?
Yeah, I think it's the inconsistency, but I also think that when you have a bullpen that's as good as San Diego's, what was it? They had struck out 24 times going into game three.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're pulling guys out of the bullpen that are throwing 104, it makes it a little bit difficult to hit. But that lineup inconsistency has been a thing. It's funny, like there's never been a time in the season where you felt like the whole lineup was clicking. And I'm wondering if that's going to happen. But guys like Nico Horner, like Nico's so damn consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy just comes out. I what's the line that Rossi gave me? He is he's wired to kick your ass every night. And you see that with a guy that turned in a 6-WAR performance for the Cubs this season. Their strength is defense, like for real, for real. Up the middle, they're so strong. Matt Shaw got better as the season went on. There were a lot of questions about whether or not he was going to be this team's third baseman, and he got better. The center, Pico Armstrong, is going to be a platinum glove guy. Ian Happ is a gold glove left fielder. They've got guys that can go and get the ball. Their strength, I think, going forward is going to be run prevention. But I have questions about how many runs they're going to put on the board.
Lawrence, we saw Craig Counsell, you know, do the Craig Counsell thing with his bullpen in this series. I lost count of how many innings and how many outs he asked his bullpen to get over the course of that wild card round. And now the Cubs are in a bit of a pinch, especially without, as you mentioned, Cade Horton. I don't expect him to be ready for this series with a fractured rib. Who do you think goes game one, and how do you think Craig Counsell handles his staff for this series?
Yeah, it's not fun, boys.
it's fun for us.
if I had to guess, I would guess that Matthew Boyd starts tomorrow. But I would have loved it had they not needed to pitch J-Mo yesterday.
Yeah.
That would have been ideal, where had you wrapped things up in game two, Jameson Tyler.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Starting on regular rest in game one of this series, I think would have set the right tone. But I don't see how you can't pitch Matthew Boyd in this series in game one. I don't think that there are a lot of good options other than you could try a bullpen game again. But I just feel like if in playoff games now, if you're asking your starter to get you 14 outs, let's call it 14. A little bit more than half of the outs that you need. I think that it's all right to send Boyd out there for game one.
Well, and he only threw 58 pitches, I think, in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That like you yeah. it's not like the regular season correct. Load of pitches. So if you need to bring guys back maybe off of routine a little bit, then you can do that. But Boyd should be good to go. And we'll see, man. The Brewers team is, man, between them and Cleveland, two teams that just kind of got hot and stayed hot for a long time, it's going to be fascinating to watch these two teams play.
So I'm going to put you back on the spot, Lawrence, before we let you go, because I'm so far 1-for-1. I got to be 2-for-2 putting you on the spot here. What is your prediction for the NLDS between the Brewers and the Cubs? I guess depending on where you look at it. A lot of experts are picking the Cubs. The sports books, Potawatomi, our friends over at Potawatomi here in Milwaukee, have the Brewers favorited to win the series. So I guess it depends on where you look. But how do you see this series playing out?
My prediction is pain.
That's what great, your pain is my joy.
Silver Lang of Chicago said, I predict pain. I think this is a 5-game series.
I agree there.
Honestly, I think these two teams are evenly matched, and it does. I know that it doesn't feel that way for Cubs fans because they saw the Brewers overtake the Cubs and never look back. Not once did they look back. But the Cubs winning the season series, I give them credit for rallying. They should have won 4 out of 5 in that series. They won 3 out of 5. So you know they ended up with the tiebreaker if they needed it. They didn't because the Brewers were really good for the rest of the way. I just think the Brewers are more intact right now than the Cubs are. But maybe the Cubs can – maybe they can find themselves inside the chaos that is the way that their season ended. So I'm looking forward to it, boys. I don't know about you, but
– Oh, man. I am not looking forward to it.
Yeah, Mike. You're not? Why not?
He's been walking on eggshells, Lawrence.
Lawrence, I follow your work. I appreciate what you do down there in Chicago. I have one nightmare in my life, and it is ending my season to a sports team out of Chicago. I got lucky. Well, I shouldn't say I got lucky. Well, maybe I did get lucky. In 2010, with the Packers and the Bears, I couldn't watch the last 4 minutes of the game. I'm a nervous fan, Lawrence. I'm scared, all right? I'm scared.
He's fanning scared, Lawrence. He's fanning scared. He's been walking on eggshells since the beginning of the wild card
series.
This
is the best Brewer season, Lawrence, we've ever had. It's the best one we've ever had. What's the only thing that can ruin it? Chicago ending that.
And Craig Counsell ending that. I think that...
Oh, man, that would be delicious. Like, that would be like such a... That'd be such a hilarious way for this whole thing to play out.
No, Lawrence. I said I... Did you not hear me say I liked you and respected you?
No, Brandon, I get that. But you know, just hang with me for a little bit. I mean, think about like how funny it would be if after all of that consternation about Craig Counsell going to the big city and leaving Milwaukee behind and leaving Wisconsin, how can he do that? And people out there writing graffiti on the park that has his name on it and all that stuff. And the Brewers being like, oh, we don't need Craig Counsell because we got Murph. And Murph is great, and he's funny, and he likes to tell jokes and stuff, and he's hilarious, and he's got pizza in his pocket and everything else.
It's a great idea.
It is a wonderful idea. But at the end of that, after everything the Brewers did to run down the Cubs and then run past them, and sitting there for a week waiting to play somebody, yelling at umpires because they're not getting calls right on the scoreboard and all this other stuff, and then the Cubs were to win, man.
I wouldn't be laughing.
I don't think he'd find it funny, Lawrence.
I know you would, Lawrence, and I know Rami would.
I'm in it for the jokes, and the comedy of it would be great. And think of it this way. You have, if the Cubs were to beat Milwaukee while the Bears are sitting on a win at Lambeau Field last year,
Chicago sounds awful.
Be the place to be.
You're putting my co-host in a worse mood than he already was, Lawrence. That is Lawrence.
No, Brandon, you're my guy, man. I'm just messing with you. I'm a White Sox fan.
Yeah, he's a White Sox fan.
I respect you. I appreciate you, but I am nervous and I am family scared.
Over here. You guys know that I saw someone wearing White Sox gear yesterday. I am 100% convinced that person was wearing White Sox gear to try and put bad mojo on the Cubs.
Well, the Cubs had a lot going against them, too, as far as fans go. Because, you know, the White Sox fans were rooting for the Padres. The Brewers fans were rooting for the Padres. The Cardinals fans were rooting for the Padres.
All the mojo was going against the Cubs. All the mojo. Lawrence, we got to run, man. He is Lawrence Holmes, Spiegelin Holmes, 670 The Score. Also, the House of L podcast. Follow him on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes. You're the best, man. We appreciate the time and the insight.
All right, boys, let's talk after it's over.
And he joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. It's the Pick Six. We'll take a six-pack of NFL games and pick against the spread. That's coming up next right here, 9 to noon on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.